matter where we're at, whether we're 700 miles apart. Family of God is big. Yeah. Amen. It is a big family of God.
Right.
And I don't think we realize how big it is. We've got brothers and sisters all over the world. And I thank the Lord. You know, I wouldn't make it without those prayers. I don't know about you, but I need prayer. I need the Lord. I need brothers and sisters to pray for me here tonight. I need comfort here tonight. There's comfort in God's word. There's comfort in coming in here and fellowshipping with brothers and sisters of like mind. So, and that's kind of what I want to preach to you here tonight, just about the comforter. So if we'll stand to our feet here tonight and open up the Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3 as we stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. I'll tell you what, I'm blessed to be here tonight. I'm blessed to stand in this pulpit and preach His gospel. 2 Corinthians 1:3. The Bible said, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ.
Amen.
And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation." There's a lot of comfort and consolation in these verses. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for allowing us to gather in your house tonight, God. I pray that you give me what I stand in need of here tonight, and that's your grace, God. I'm glad that your grace is sufficient for me here tonight, God. I pray that you give us all what we stand in need of is your grace, God. And I pray that you hide me behind your cross and use me here tonight, Lord, as just a humble servant and willing vessel. And I pray, God, that every voice and every heart and every name under the sound of our voice here tonight, God, is right with you. And I pray that you soften hearts here tonight, God. Soften hearts in this lost and dying world, Lord. And I pray that you just be with this church here tonight, God, Lord. Be with the saints of God in it and be with us as we tarry for just a short little while, God. We thank you for your love and your mercy. And we thank you, Lord, most of all for Jesus. In your sweet, precious name we pray, and amen. You may be seated.
Amen.
You may be seated. Amen. You know, one of the things that I notice, you know, I really honestly don't know where I'd be without the power of God in my life. I've been through many things in this world. You know, I went 21 years before I gave my heart to Christ. And, you know, I think of the things that I went through out in this world. And you think back to the things that you did when you were lost. And you think of all those times where you were very unsure of what was going to happen. And we don't know what tomorrow brings. But I know that with whatever tomorrow brings, there's comfort and there's a surety in the Word of God.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what troubles come. It doesn't matter what trials and tribulations the devil tries to throw at us or what the world tries to do. There is comfort in God's Word, because we have to realize as Christians, as born again children of God, we are going to experience suffering. We are going to experience trials. We are going to experience tribulation. There are trials in this life, but you know what comes after trials is blessings. Praise God. It's not all suffering all the time, but bless God, if we lived on the mountaintop all the time, why would we look forward to heaven? I thank the Lord for trials. I don't welcome troubles. I don't welcome trials. I don't desire for them, but they do come, because we are Christians living in a place that is not our home. We are living in this world and it is not our home. We are just passing through. And I thank the Lord that I have a home that's beyond this world. I have treasures that are not laid up in any bank in this world. I have treasures that are up in heaven. And praise God, that not even the devil can take. The devil has no right to take from you what God has given you. Your salvation is priceless in the eyes of God. The devil has no right to it. And we all have a lot of troubles come into our lives each and every single day. If you haven't been in a battle anytime lately, then you need to check and see what side you've been on. And I'll tell you what, we do battle things each and every single day. And those troubles come in waves. Sometimes they come all at once. But you look at Job and everything that happened in his life. It came wave after wave after wave, but it all came at once. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. His wife said, curse God and die. I can't imagine where Job would have been if he would have listened to his wife. That's why it's so important to have a godly spouse. That's why it's so important to support one another in the Lord. It's why it's so important to have your kids in church and raise them up in church and support and edify one another. I can't imagine where I'd be without my wife and her encouragement and her support. I wouldn't have been able to pastor. I wouldn't be able to preach. I wouldn't be able to do these things if I didn't have a godly wife. And I thank the Lord for the kids that he's given me. And you think of the Hebrew children. They were in the fiery furnace. They went through things all at once. Daniel, he was thrown into the lion's den. Joseph, he was cast into prison. But Joseph was also betrayed by his brothers. He lived a life of suffering, but God also blessed him. He walked with God. Peter was sent into prison. Peter was sent into prison. But you know what? He also denied Christ in front of everybody. He was humiliated in front of everybody, but he was the one that God would end up using almost more than any apostle. And we see John, he was exiled into the island of Patmos, but we know that James, he died by the sword for his faith. Standing right next to Peter, he was beheaded. And I guarantee you that the devil tried to use that situation to shake Peter's faith when he seen his brother killed for his faith right then and there. And the devil, he may try to use the situation that you're in right now to try to shake your faith, to try to say it's not worth it, to try to say that it's not worth running this race. But I can tell you one thing, it is worth running the race. It is worth picking up your sword. It is worth strapping on the armor each and every single day. It is worth going out into the world and defending your faith. And I'll tell you what, but you know why it's worth it? Because Jesus Christ left all the glories of heaven and he didn't have to. That's why it's worth it. And I can tell you, there's nothing that you've been through that Jesus hasn't been through. He's been through it worse than we could ever imagine. And I'll tell you what, I'm thankful for my health. I may not have a whole lot of wealth, but I'm thankful for my wealth, my health here tonight. And David, he was on the run from Saul. And all these Old Testament prophets, men and women of God, they always seem to be in a battle at some point or another. And Paul, he's writing this letter. 2 Corinthians, we read to you. He's writing this letter here. Many of the letters that Paul wrote, many of his writings, he wrote from a prison cell. He wrote from a prison cell. But you know what Paul did? One of the things that I noticed about a lot of his letters, he was always writing letters of encouragement to his brothers, to Timothy, to Titus. He was writing letters of encouragement, of comfort. He was comforting them from a prison cell. He wasn't, you know, he didn't have the freedom like we had. You know, it was different back in his day. He didn't have churches to come into like this. You know, he didn't live in America. He lived in a place where Christians, early Christians, were thrown to the lion's den. They were thrown to the wolves. They were killed for their faith. They were martyred for their faith. And you know, we live in a free country. And I'm very thankful I'm very blessed to live in America. And I know that she's got her problems right now. She needs prayer. She's broken. She needs prayer. And I believe it's the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous, of God's people, that's keeping that ship afloat. But as bad as things are right now, I'm thankful to be living in this country over any other country in the world. And Paul, he was writing this letter to the Corinthians as he was going through storms and troubles. It says here, 2 Corinthians 7:4, he says, great is my boldness of speech toward you. Paul never pulled any punches. He didn't sugarcoat anything. He says, great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, I always like reading those that word, nevertheless, because it always means God's about ready to do something. Amen. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. Again, there's a lot of comfort in God's word. And when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. Paul was rejoicing here when he was under trials and tribulations. Christians during some of the darkest times in our lives, sometimes, you know what, that's when I've been the most blessed, when I've had the most trials, when I've had the most troubles, when I've been going through things, when I've been going through storms, it seems to be when God blesses me the most, because I know that I have nothing else to rely on other than the power of God to get me through the storm. In the coming of Titus, it was a comfort to Paul. It was a comfort to Paul to know how things were going in other churches, in other Christians. And I tell you what, this is one of the things when we were in Arkansas, it was always a comfort to see Brother Mike and his wife, to see others that would come down and visit us, because it is a comfort to see brothers and sisters from afar that bring a good report, to let us know, you know, how our other churches are doing, because you know what? Sometimes it gets lonely no matter where we're at, even though we're surrounded by brothers and sisters. I'll tell you what, it gets lonely living the Christian life, but I stop and think, as I said before, how big the family of God is. We're not alone in this church. Amen. We are not alone in this. There's other churches doing this very same thing right now. They are preaching the gospel. They are singing songs that are glorifying God. They are preaching from this very same book. They are preaching with the very same power that God gave the apostles, that He gave Peter, that He gave them when they were praying in the upper room. We have that same power here tonight that indwells inside of us. We have that same power. And I take comfort in knowing that I can come to Ohio, I can go to Arkansas, I can go anywhere in the country and hug a brother or sister's neck and know that we both worship the same God and we read from the same Bible and we worship the same Jesus. I take comfort in knowing God's Word, and I take comfort in knowing that there's other people of like mind.
Amen.
And that's why I said I'm thankful to have good friends in the Lord here tonight, because the Bible says, John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And you know, I'm thankful. I'll take a good friend in the Lord any day. Amen.
Amen.
I'll take a good friend in the Lord any day. And you know, Jesus is the greatest friend of all. You know, He's not our buddy. He's not on our level, even though He came down to us. You know, He is God. He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost all into one. We serve a triune God. We don't serve three different gods, but we serve one God. And He laid down His life for you and me. You know what? That's why it's worth it to come in and serve God, even when we don't feel like it. I'll tell you what, there's been a lot of times in my Christian life where I just have not felt like coming to church. I've not felt like raising my hands. I've not felt like preaching. I've not felt like singing. But you know what? It's what God has called me to do. Yeah. It would be easy to lay down the sword. It would be easy to lay down the Bible and say, you know what? It's not worth it. I don't feel like doing this anymore. But would it really be easier to go back out and do what I used to do, to live in this world knowing that there is a comforter out there that I am living against?
Yeah.
Would it be easier? There was a preacher early on when I got saved. Man, I tell you what, he preached the fire. Helped lead me to the Lord.
Yeah.
And I was talking to him one day about the comforter, and he said, you know what, he's away from the Lord right now. He said, I still know who the comforter is. And I said, how miserable must this man be to say that I still know who the comfort is, but I'm going to go out and live in my sin and live my life the way that I want it, because certain things happened in my life, certain things didn't go the way that I wanted them to go. So you know what? Just forget this. Just forget it all. I don't want to live that way. I pray that God gives me the grace to serve Him each and every single day.
Amen.
I'm not above that man. I'm not above anybody here tonight. I'm flesh and blood just like James was. I am just like Elijah was. He was a man of like passions like we are.
Amen.
None of us are above falling away from the grace of God.
That's right.
That's why I pray He gives me the grace to stand strong in my faith. We have to know what we stand for.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, there's a song out there, it's a country song, and it says, you have to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You know, I know it's a country song, it's not a gospel song, but there's truth in that. You have to stand, but is it just anything? You have to. I believe that you have to stand upon the Word of God, or you will fall for anything.
Yeah. Amen.
I know what I believe, and I know why I believe it. Paul called Titus his own son in the common faith, and he was his son, he was his brother, he was his friend. I'm thankful for the people that God has put in my life.
Amen.
I'm thankful for the places God has placed me, because each and every single place that God has taken me, whether it's 700 miles or 7 miles down the road or 30, wherever it's at, God's always shown me something in every single place that we've been. And I think that's what one of the things that we're missing today. A lot of Christians, a lot of us, we think that we've got it all figured out. We think that we've got the Bible memorized. We think that we can't be shown anything else. That's what I love about the Scriptures, is they're so deep. Amen. They're so deep. We'll never have it all figured out. That's why God's Word is eternal. We're never going to have it all figured out. I'm glad that I can still learn different things from different people. We all face storms. And we go through many things in this life. Heard a preacher say, we spend more time in the valley than we do on the mountaintop, it seems. Yeah. And sometimes we look at people out in the world lost that seem to have no problems whatsoever. They seem to have a full bank account. They drive the best cars. They have the nicest houses. But they're as lost could be. You know why they seem happy? You know why they seem joyful? I can tell you they're not joyful. They may be happy, but happy is an emotion. And emotion wears off. It only lasts for a season. What I have here, I don't have my hope and stock in any of those things. And those people, they know that that's their treasure. That's all they're going to get. That's why they're living it up. And they're putting all their hope in that stuff. There's nothing wrong with having any of those things. But like the rich man, he couldn't follow Christ because he couldn't give up those things.
Amen.
He went away sorrowful and brokenhearted, and he so badly wanted to follow Christ, but he couldn't because he couldn't let go of those things.
Yeah.
And you see even some of the harmless of things coming into the lives of Christians today, taking them away. When I drive by to go to church on Sunday morning and I see the parking lot school, when I see Highland High School, when I see their parking lot full on a Sunday afternoon, it's a wonder you can't get people to come to church today.
Right.
And that's not popular to preach on today. I understand that.
Good.
But it's true. You can't get people dedicated today because they're so busy with everything else. And sometimes we just need to slow down and realize what is really important. I want my kids to serve God, but they can't serve God because of me. They have to serve God because of who Jesus is, and because they have to serve God for themselves and for Christ.
Amen.
Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And you know, sometimes it seems in our country when we turn on the TV, it seems like the storms and the troubles seem to be just a little bit greater right now. It's because our country is so spiritually dead. How did our country get to become this way? How did we get so spiritually dead? Well, I believe you have to look at the problem even further. I believe that you have to look at the heart of man. Why is our nation broken? Well, our nation's broken because, well, first of all, the man's heart. Man has allowed himself to be deceived and tempted away and enticed by his own lusts. God's left man's heart, so then he's left the home. That's one of the problems today, is the devil, I'll tell you what, he's driving a wedge in between spouses today, in between homes, trying to divide homes and get people to fuss and fight with one another. He's destroying homes. And that's always been the bedrock, the foundation of our country. Jesus has always been that. But the home has always been this country was. It's the backbone of this country, the blue-collar worker. And if God's left the heart and the home, well, then how is our nation going to thrive?
Yeah.
Our nation's in the shape that it's in because of our focus. And as we said, just because you aren't going through something right now, you may say, well, I don't have any troubles. I'm not going through anything. My life's just fine. Well, just wait. If you're serving God, something's going to come. I remember when I got saved, it was no sooner than I walked out those doors that the carpet was yanked underneath me. And the storms came from unlikely places. Yeah. Places that you would not think. From people that you would not think you would have battles from. Those are where the storms usually come from. You don't see the storm coming. And I'm not trying to discourage you here tonight. I want to encourage you with the Comforter. But we also want to prepare you for what life throws at you, for what the devil tries to come at you with. We don't want to sugarcoat anything. Paul never sugarcoated anything. He shot it right between the eyes. This man, Clyde Gordon, he was an editor of a Christian magazine. He was paralyzed from the neck down. He said this, Christ is no security against the storms, but he is perfectly secure in the storms. It doesn't. We're going to go through things in this life. We are, mark it down. But I can tell you one thing, Christ is going to be with us. And that's what gets me through things. That's why I haven't laid down my sword, because I know He's going to be there for me. And when we have adversity, when things don't always go our way, when things don't always go according to plan, our faith in Christ is what strengthens us. It's where we draw our strength from. It's like the woman at the well. You know, I'll tell you what, her strength, she had been looking for an answer all of her life. She had been looking in all the wrong places. She said her tradition, her family said, I need to worship over here in this mountain. This is where it said, this is where my family, this is where tradition said we should worship. And then Jesus was sitting right there next to her. He was telling her that you need to worship me. And I'll tell you what, she had experienced something at the well that day that she had never experienced before. And she went into that town telling people that you need to come and see this man named Jesus. You need to get a piece of him. You need to experience this man named Jesus. And I think about that woman when she got there, and it makes me, it reminds me of the time that I got saved. I wanted to go out and tell everybody. I felt like I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof. I just experienced the power of the Comforter. And I'll tell you what, I had more security then than I ever did before in my life. And I'll tell you what, I think about that woman at the well and what she got that day. You know, I had been looking for something all my life. At 21 years old, I tried a lot of things in the world, some things that I never should have got into. But you know, I tried them thinking that there would be comfort and security in those. Wanted my problems to go away. Problems are never going to go away. Yeah. Drugs, alcohol, entertainment, those things, they just take your focus off of the problem for a time being. Yeah. But it just makes the problem worse. It makes the problem worse. And that's one of the problems today. People, they don't want to face reality. We don't want to face the problem. We don't want to face the storm. We want to do things to take our mind off of the storm. But we have to go through the storm, because when we go through the storm, Christ is going to be our protection. He's going to lead us through the storm. And guess what? When we come out the other side of the storm, we are going to be stronger than we were before, because we know that our strength comes from the power of the cross.
Amen. That's right.
I thank God that He's my comforter. A few quick things that I want to go through real quick, and I'm going to finish up here. I don't want to take too much of your time, but God's blessed us here tonight. As we said, God doesn't protect us from the trouble, but through the trouble. You know, why does God allow good people to go through problems? Why does God allow things to happen to good people? The world asks that question all the time. Why does good people get cancer? Why do good people go through all sorts of struggles and strife and tribulations? Well, we know that sin entered into the world. God allows those things to happen because man has free will. Amen. It all goes back to the garden. Man made a choice.
That's right.
And he chose to defy God. But God allows us to go through these things because as Christians, you know we have the answer. It's all right here. We have this book that we can look forward to, that we can look to, that the apostles didn't have. Yes, they walked with Christ. The Old Testament saints, they walked with Christ. We have all of those stories right here, and I use this term story loosely because they are real. They are real events that happened.
Right.
But He allows us to go through problems. I have a few quick points. He allows us to go through these problems because these problems direct us.
Yeah.
In 2 Thessalonians 3:5, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." And I'll tell you what, one of the hardest things that I have found in my Christian life to do is wait on the Lord. It's hard for us to wait today, isn't it? Because we can't stay focused for more than 2 minutes without having to check our phones, without having to wonder where we're going to eat after church, without having to wonder what's going on in the world. But we come in here, you know what? I think we need to bring our troubles into the church. You know, some say, well, you need to leave them out. I think you need to bring them into the church and lay them at the feet of Jesus and give them to Him. This is a hospital for the sick, for the sin sick. Bring them in and give them to Him. Don't leave them out there. Bring them in and give them to Him.
Amen.
But it's hard sometimes waiting on the Lord, because you want the answer now and you want to know what God has you to do. You've been praying on what God would have you to do, and sometimes waiting for the answer, it can be the hardest thing, because we know it's hard to just sit.
Yeah.
It's hard to sit. We're so busy. Sometimes we have to just sit and get in a quiet place with God and let Him speak to our hearts. But sometimes we won't move. The Holy Spirit will direct us, and sometimes He allows trouble and trials to come into our lives because He knows that's the only way we're going to move. Sometimes God has to light a fire under us in order for us to move.
Sure.
We say, we're not going anywhere. I'm fine where I'm at. I'm content with where I'm at. But sometimes those troubles have to come into our lives so that we can get up and do something for the Lord.
Amen.
So that we can do something for God. In order for us to move forward and do things for God, He has to allow those trials and troubles and tribulations to come into our lives. It's the only way, unfortunately, sometimes. Second, problems, what they do is they inspect us. The old preacher, I heard him say one time that sometimes people are like tea bags. You can't tell what's inside of them until they get in hot water. And I like that. I like that. But it will come out. Everything always comes out.
Amen.
When you're under the fire, when times are tough, when times when you've got those troubles, when Paul said that there was trouble all around and fears within, when they were coming on all sides of him, you know what? You really find out what kind of faith you have. You really find out what is inside of your heart.
Amen.
You know, Peter, when he got scared, he got scared when he saw what was happening to Jesus, and he denied him three times in front of everybody. And I'm telling you, he was ashamed. He knew as soon as he said it that Christ had predicted what he was going to say. He said, I will never say that. I will follow you till the end. But you know what? He ended up denying Christ anyway. And we sit here in the comfort of our church, say, we are never going to deny Christ. If persecution comes, we will stand fast in our faith. That's why I pray that God always gives me the grace to stand fast, because Peter could happen to any one of us. We say we'll stand for our faith, but when push comes to shove, when we get under fire, will we really stand for our faith? I don't know what's in your heart. I can't say that for you. All I can speak for is my own salvation. And God knows our hearts. He's a discerner of the hearts, praise God, here tonight. And you know what? When Peter, I think about Peter, when he stood in that upper room, he was a different man. It wasn't the same man that had denied Peter or that denied Christ. He was a different person. When he stood up in the midst of that upper room and he led those 100, I think it was 100 or 120 men and women of God in prayer. They waited. What do we say? Waiting was one of the hardest things that we struggle with. But they waited for 10 days before they ever made a move. And when they prayed for 10 days, day and night, they knew that they were going to have to take something that the world was going to hate. They were going to have to take a gospel. They were going to have to take a message that the world was going to reject. And they stood in that upper room and they prayed for 10 days, and nobody pointed out and said, hey, remember, that's Peter. He's the one who denied Jesus.
Right.
Not once, but twice, but three times. Nobody said that. Nobody brought it up to him. They knew that he was a different man. Peter was a different person. He had repented of what he'd done. And that's why I said, I know that I'm different. I'm not what I once was. Peter stood up in the midst of that upper room with boldness, just as Paul's writing these letters and just how he's preaching. And troubles do inspect us. We do find out what we're made of in a way. We do find out what kind of faith we have. And God is faithful. You know, Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain.
Yeah.
To live is Christ, to die is gain. You know, it's easy to say that you die for something, but it's harder. I believe it's harder to say that you live for something. And Paul lived for Christ. After he got saved, he did a lot of things against the church. He wreaked havoc against the church, but he knew. You know, he was almost hated more than Christ was in the early church because of what he stood for. And I think of those words. I've been studying those words and meditating on just that passage for the last week or two. Pastor preached on it a couple weeks ago. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Would we die for our faith? People mostly would say yes, but will you live for your faith?
Right.
Means coming to church, coming to prayer meetings, coming to revivals, taking the gospel out there, praying fervently day in and night for your church, for your pastors, for your brothers and sisters, living for Christ, living right, living holy, living righteously. Because our righteousness is filthy rags, living a sanctified life. We have to live out in this world, but God doesn't want us to become a part of this world. That's why it's so hard. And I'm not going to say that the Christian life is a bad life, but it is hard when you go out into this world because it seems like we are few in numbers. Few there be that find it. But I'm telling you, the world is watching you. It's watching me. It's watching what you say. It is important how you talk, how you dress. I'm not saying you walk around with your nose stuck up, but I'm telling you, it's important how you carry yourself as a Christian, man or woman. It is, those things are important, because today this lukewarm gospel that they're preaching says it doesn't matter when you come to church. It doesn't matter how you live, how you talk, how you dress. You know what? Jesus just wants you to come as you are. Well, he does want you to come as you are, but he wants you to come in your sins to him and give everything over to him. Amen. And that's exactly what we need to do, because he inspects us and he corrects us. Sometimes I think we only learn through pain and failure, through sufferings. That's how God teaches us. You know, I found out that in the ministry, some of the worst decisions that I've made in my life have been through impulse, on emotion. Remember when Jonah, when he said, God, I'm not going to Nineveh. And he went to Tarshish, as far away from that place as he could. He said, I'm not going. He hopped on a boat and went directly in the opposite direction on an impulse. You know, emotion, some of the worst things. You look at our leaders today in our countries. Some of the worst decisions that have ever been made that are being made today are based upon emotion. Some recent events that have just happened, these school shootings. Some of the worst decisions that you can make are when emotions are riding high. That's why I've learned over time to take a step back and pray and get alone with God and say, God, is this really what you would have me to do?
Amen.
And we learn through sufferings. We learn through failures. We learn through trials. I believe we're always learning. The Holy Spirit does correct us. And not only does it correct us, but it connects us.
Amen.
Problems bring people together. Remember 9/11. I was 16 years old, sitting in U.S. history class, September 11th, 2001. And I remember when they turned that TV on and I saw the towers burning. I had never given a thought about the Twin Towers before that. I didn't know who Osama bin Laden was. I didn't know anything about terrorism. I was 16 years old, sitting in a school classroom. And you know what? I remember hearing things about people gathering in church houses. Of course, I was lost then too. I didn't know anything about church. Didn't know anything about Jesus. I didn't get right then. I didn't think about getting right. But I knew I was scared to death of what was going to happen, because I seen my neighbor sit down on his front porch loading his gun, saying there's going to be war. And at 16 years old, never knowing what war was in our country, never experienced anything like that, you know, I was scared. I was nervous. And sure enough, we did go to war, and we're still fighting the same battle then as we are now.
Yeah, that's right.
But the problem is, it's a heart problem. You can take away every weapon. You can try to fight a physical warfare, but the warfare that we fight,
Amen.
It's not carnal. It's not with weapons made by man's hands. It's a spiritual warfare.
Yeah,
until you get to the root problem, you're never going to figure it out. It's not a race problem. It's not a gun problem. It's a heart problem. But trials, unfortunately, do bring us together. Troubles bring us together. Tragedies bring us together. And I believe our nation came together that day. But what happened? Our nation, I believe, is more away from God now than we were then.
Yeah.
And you know, we've allowed certain things to come into our country, into our hearts, into our homes. And I believe that Christians, we've gotten scared. We've gotten soft because of the things that we see on TV. I've heard people say, you know, it's time to run and hide. Let's gather our guns and food and let's go run for the hills. But it's a warfare. It's a spiritual warfare. And it starts right here.
Amen.
Here.
Amen.
So where are you at today? I know everybody is fighting a battle in this room that I don't know about, that your neighbor doesn't know about. Where are you at today?
Amen.
What are you battling? What troubles and trials are you going through? And I'm here to tell you that no matter what you're going through, and I know your pastors preach it from the pulpit every Sunday, every Wednesday, about the same comforter that I'm preaching from. There's a man that can handle your troubles, and his name is Jesus.
Amen.
So if you have anything you're going through here tonight, no matter what it is, know, don't be afraid to bring your troubles into the church and lay them at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
Just give them to him. He'll take them.
Amen.
We could stand to our feet here tonight. We could get a song.